Let's return to Washington now for a moment. Not the Washington of today, but the Washington of yesterday. And not so much to talk about politics, but to hear about the Capitol itself and the way it was. Today, Washington's mostly seen as an orderly layout of nice white marble government buildings. Sort of looks like Paris, if you look at it from above. Well, we've all heard the story on tours or in history class that George Washington chose French-American architect and Revolutionary War veteran Pierre L'Enfant to design the Capitol, and that L'Enfant laid out a visionary plan where important buildings were strategically placed by waterways, by the river, and broad boulevards, avenues running through the city. But from those plans to the reality, a lot was left out. J.D. Dickey is author of the new book, Empire of Mud, The Secret History of Washington, D.C., and it tells us why by the 1800s, L'Enfant called Washington a contemptible hamlet, and we're kind of calling it a dump.
The city as we know it today looks very different than it did in the 19th century because, for one thing, a lot of it simply didn't exist. If you wandered west of the Washington Monument, you were underwater because all of that was filled in later. And so there was a lot of not only muck and humidity, of course, that added to the malarial aspect of the city. And it was definitely called a swamp, even though technically I don't think it's exactly a swamp, but it's very close to it. And of course, swamp comes with a rich range of metaphor as well.
Sure. I was going to say metaphorically, swamp is the only place your mind can really land given the local industry.
Exactly.
But west of the Washington Monument, you're talking about what's now the World War II Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, those places that are famous.
That's right. And back then, a lot of that part of town, if you could call it that, was called the Potomac Flats. And it was known for various mosquitoes, among other things, and all kinds of infectious diseases. And also it was the outlet of the much feared and dreaded Washington City Canal, which is now Constitution Avenue. And the City Canal was originally devised to be a fine channel for commerce from one part of the city to another, but it ended up being an open sewer that ran right by the Capitol through the middle of downtown and with its outlet near the Potomac Flats.
An open sewer. Listen to you. More of your metaphors for Washington.
I know. They just come quick and ready.
Well, J.D. Dickey, you know, I'm really curious to have you take us on a little bit of a personal tour here. Let's imagine ourselves in the year 1815, let's say, maybe standing on Capitol Hill as it exists. It's a real hill. These days, Pennsylvania Avenue is a broad avenue with bike lanes and museums, traffic lights, embassies, all the way to the White House. Let's stroll down that area around 1815. What kinds of people, what kinds of things would we be seeing then?
Well, if we're going down Pennsylvania Avenue, we'd probably be on horseback or in a carriage because the street was unwalkable. It had huge furrows of mud during certain seasons and dust in others. Some people claim that it was unpassable, and it was really an unfortunate aspect of the city that this great thoroughfare was in such terrible condition. It wasn't even lit at night. It had no street lighting or sidewalks. And so that was your centerpiece between Capitol Hill and the White House. Now, along each side, what we're developing were some low-rent neighborhoods, some populations of reasonable homes and manors and things like that, but really those extremes of wealth and poverty I talked about. Already at that time developing were boarding houses where various politicians would stay, and a lot of these boarding houses developed into brothels. And brothel keeping ended up being one of the major illicit industries of Washington City at the time. And you had your gambling halls and open street gambling and things like that as well, along with matches of blood sport, bear baiting and cockfighting and that sort of thing. So it was really a chaotic, interesting, disturbing city and very much different than what we see today.
I really want to make sure we don't leave this conversation, J.D. Dickey, without talking about the role of slavery in the development of Washington City and Washington, D.C. People are more familiar in recent years with the role of slavery in building the Capitol itself, the Capitol building, but that's just one very small part of it.
That's true. Slaves helped to build the city, and they built the Capitol, and their labor may have been used on the White House and digging trenches for the Washington City Canal and all other aspects that you can think of that went into the creation of the early city. People called it the great man market of the nation. Washington, D.C. And that made it a bit different from other major cities of the time. And here you could find slave auctions operating openly and slave gangs being dragged through the street on chains. And in fact, at major hotels, slaves were chained to the walls of basements while their owners kept prim company in the upper floors. So the legacy of slavery is a deep and disturbing one, and it's one that is really hard to get away from when you plunge into the history of the city.
And forget about the swamp. That is the truly squalid part of the history of Washington, D.C. for sure. And then throughout history, you know, in the 1900s and well into the 20th century as well, you know, Washington, D.C. for a long time had a reputation as an extremely violent, extremely dangerous city. Now, that has abated a lot over the last 5 to 10 years. It's a much safer city than it used to be. But I get the sense that you have in the history that you've told sort of the seeds of the violence that plagued parts of the city for so long were sown long ago.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Washington, D.C. was an incredibly violent place, especially in its pre-Civil War and Civil War era and up through the Gilded Age as well. And it was so incredibly violent because one reason was because of the lack of police presence. You had a handful of constables that were expected to patrol beats that were miles long. And so crime routinely broke out and mob violence and all other aspects of bad behavior, bad and criminal, but as well as socially accepted violence broke out. And you could see that throughout the city in various different ways, even beyond just street crime. You could even have instances wherein a visiting politician like former Tennessee Governor Sam Houston in 1832 could come into the city, find one of his adversaries, and beat him with a cane until he was senseless. And for that crime, Houston ended up paying a fine of $500, which wasn't great at the time and today would be considered absurd.
That legacy endured, of course, into the 60s, the 1968 riots on U Street and other parts of Washington, D.C., into the 70s and 80s with turf battles and horrible drug problems in Washington. These days, though, deep economic problems still exist in Washington. There's no doubt about it. It is a city under transformation. There's just an enormous amount of investment. Is it changing Washington in a fundamental way from the 200 years that you write about, or is it just kind of a blip as you see it in the long arc?
I think the modern development of Washington, D.C. actually makes Pierre L'Enfant look pretty good because now his blueprint has come to fruition and the beautiful residences and the investment and the kinds of the original conception of gentrification that you would put the gentry somewhere has come to pass. But of course, this is only one aspect of the city. Coexisting with that is still that desperate poverty that we talked about in places like Anacostia and other neighborhoods. And that also follows from this early history, the way it was all laid out, not only laid out in the positive way by L'Enfant, but also the thrust of development that Boss Shepherd and other people did to create the city as we now know it.
J.D. Dickey is author of Empire of Mud, The Secret History of Washington.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.